Today is Christ the King Sunday, a day that, as most Protestants, we don't really know quite how to take it. The imagery even doesn't connect with us as Protestants. Christ the King Sunday has a particular Catholic vibe to it. The kingdom imagery, the imagery of kings itself, all seems to be an image of a far-off age. It seems connected more to our past than to our future. Not only are we Protestants who've rejected the understanding of the Catholic or universal church, but we're also creatures of the Enlightenment, Western in an understanding that embraces democracy over subservience to a king. We are strangers to these ideas. The only real time that we take seriously the king and the kingdom is in the time that's coming, Christmas. We all celebrate and we glorify the coming of the newborn king. But once again, we put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, as they might say. And we see newborn as what attracts us instead of king. A newborn king is a sovereign who will and even does have power from first breath. A newborn king is one who will rule over the kingdom, but who has oftentimes ceded authority to someone else before they come into their kingdom. To me, it's amazing how prescient the newborn king understanding is with our own understanding of our role as a church. We are placeholders in authority and power. We will not hold the authority and power of Christ the Lord when the king enters the kingdom and takes the throne. Yet today, the church has been granted the authority of the king. Recognize that the symbol, the understanding of what it means to be a newborn king is lost to many of us. We don't have kings. We don't celebrate the birth of kings and princes. And those who do are hopelessly Anglophile, right? And even with those who follow the exploits of William and Harry, we might recognize that they hold no authority. They wield no power. They're symbolic in nature. And though they cut a fine image and their children are gorgeous, they will hold no authority in the future either. The concept of kings and kingdoms are things that we must reclaim in order to understand Christ as king. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord in your life? What does it mean that Christ is king of the universe? Recognize that this new understanding, which is also an old one, is one that rules over our lives today. We know that the king is coming. Not just a king, but the king. We know Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know Jesus as one who has all authority, all power, all glory. We know it. We believe it. And we acknowledge it in the church. Yet we don't live it. In reality, we still think we're in charge. We still think that we have the authority, or as Cartman would say it, the authority. We assume that we have the power. We're delusional. We in the church often suffer from the same delusions as the world does. Christ the King Sunday is a time in which we reject the delusions of the world. It is a day in which we put the emphasis correctly on the kingship of Jesus, the lordship of Christ, and the kingdom that is to come. Before we enter into the period of Advent, the season of Advent, before we consider the King or the coming of the Lord or the coming of Messiah or the birth of Jesus, we must first get straight in our minds and in our hearts what this means. Because if it simply means that God dies for us, then we still have control. We can proclaim God as servant of man and not the church as the servant of a living God. If we forget the lordship of Jesus, then we can see God and Jesus as acting for us without ever receiving the glory, the honor, and the worship that the church owes. We worship Jesus as King, Lord, God the Son. This is important. This is not just another celebrity born. This is not just another person in a magazine with a picture that looks good. This is not another opportunity to celebrate. This is everything that we are. This changes and transforms our very lives. The coming of Jesus in the clouds, in our hearts, and in a manger means that the Son of Man is before us. And he has given all dominion, all glory, all power, and a kingdom that, as Daniel writes and as the book of Revelation quotes, that all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus, the Son of Man, the Christ, is King. And he's our King. He's my King. He's your King. What does that mean? That means that he controls. He leads. And my job and your job is to be obedient, to bow when the King comes, to worship, to serve, to live as if God is here. Our priorities sometimes get twisted by God's absence. We seek to be instead of to serve. We reject the idea of bowing a knee. And yet, that's our calling. From the greatest to the least, those who are alive and those who have gone down into the grave. According to Scripture, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is King. That's power. That's authority. That's dominion. That's King Jesus. King Jesus doesn't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. King Jesus doesn't care if you're a capitalist or a communist. King Jesus doesn't care what you think. King Jesus is King. And it seems overly simplistic to simply say that. But if you don't understand what the word Lord means, what the word King means, that a Lord and a King tells you what to do, and you don't say, we didn't vote on that. And you don't say, well, you're not my King. Try protesting King Jesus in his glory. The King has power and authority. But the King also has love. And each of us, in serving the King today, in preparation for the kingdom coming tomorrow, we live in that love, in that salvation. Because God has graciously reached out and offered us the ability to walk with him along the path, to be present amongst those who would witness a coronation, to be a part of the work of God and the coming of the kingdom. This is the role that we play. We play the role as ambassadors, as those who walk before, as those who let the world know that the King is coming, that the King has acted, that the King is in control. Many of the world don't acknowledge and accept what I have just said. The first people that must acknowledge this is the church. If we ignore and reject these words, then no one else will be able to understand them. It is our responsibility to surrender ourselves to the King, to worship, to bow down, to bend the knee, and to acknowledge the sovereignty of King Jesus. As soon as you leave this worship service, you will be bombarded by pretenders to the throne. You will be attacked for your allegiance to God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Things and people will pop before you and say, I am King. I am Lord. Your appetite might be King. Your desire to purchase might be King. Your love for others might be King. Your political understandings might be King. You might be King. You might offer your kingdom and your own authority to football teams. We sell our souls for very little. But God in Jesus Christ has bought yours with a price, his very life. And when we say yes to Jesus, we don't just say yes to the salvation he has given to us, we say yes to the lordship of Jesus in our lives. As we prepare for Advent, know that the King is born in you, and the King is coming. and the king is on the throne in heaven, and the day is coming when heaven and earth will both show the glory of God. And Jesus will be on the throne. On that day, every knee will bow. Will you bow willingly today? This is the question that the church must ask. This is the question that the ages continue to share with us. And this is the answer that the church should give. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's pray. Loving God, King of the universe, Lord, Savior, we give you thanks. And we give you worship. Today we recognize your glory. We recognize your sovereignty. We recognize that you are the author of the universe, that you sit on the throne, and we bow, and we worship, and we surrender to you. Through your Holy Spirit, make us strong in you. Help us to resist the kingdoms that encroach, the spirits that would divide us and that would divide our hearts and our minds and our souls from you. Help us to be obedient, to be loving, and to be filled with your grace so that we might be called servants of your kingdom and serve a living God, a King. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Before we close with our concluding hymn, I want to share one more announcement. We are going to need some help with getting some Christmas decorations down from the attic. If there are some big, strong, helpful men or women that are willing to help, if you'd see Bob Turner after the worship service, he will gladly put you to work. Let's conclude our time of worship as we sing together hymn number 444, I Love You.